That out here. Okay, let's go ahead and call the meeting to order. So the Commission on Equitable Housing Development meeting has now commenced. It is April 4th at 4 p.m. The meeting is being held virtually due to COVID-19 to allow for social distancing and to protect the public health. As we continue our efforts in meeting remotely, we ask all commissioners and guests to mute yourselves until called upon to speak to avoid feedback and background noise. For those who have dialed in using the call-in number, to unmute to speak, dial *6 on your phone. Also, prior to speaking, please announce who you are to identify yourself. As a reminder, this meeting is being recorded. Also, to comply with the state's open meeting laws, attendance and votes will be done by way of roll call using audio, not by using the chat function. So, Maggie Amato-Tellez.
Present.
Wendy Asher. Wendy is absent. Marianne Buehrling.
Present.
Mindy Bernstein.
Present.
Mark is absent. Vicky Cusino is
Vicki let
absent.
us know she'd be absent today.
That's right. Lori Meserbo.
Present.
Tisha Tallman.
Here.
Hi, Tisha. Jim Toffel, I'm here. Ray Winch.
Here.
Kenny Wong.
Here.
And Jay Young.
Here.
Our ex officio members, Ann Chinanka. Is Ann going to join us today?
Anne is out of town.
Okay. Corin Manning. Corin's here. Betty Viegas. Okay, Marcos is absent as well. And Mike Edmonds is also absent. All right, so sorry, one second. I was focused on looking at the tax credit awards here. Okay, I was not at the March meeting, so I don't really have any comments on the meeting minutes, but are there any changes to the meeting minutes which were posted?
Nope.
Okay.
I'd like to make a motion that we approve the March meeting minutes.
Okay. Motion's made. Any seconds?
A second.
Second by Mindy. Go ahead and do a roll call. Or actually, I'm just going to say, is there any objection just to having the minutes approved? If somebody objects, say so. Otherwise, we'll approve. We'll just say they're approved. All right. Minutes are approved. We're going to do the call to the audience. This is a time when any member of the public may address the Commission on Equitable Housing and Development. Due to time constraints, the total time allocated for this is 10 minutes. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes each to speak. Due to open meeting laws, commission members cannot discuss topics that are not on the agenda. Items brought up by the public may be considered as an agenda item for future meetings. Ben Bueller Garcia, you have the floor.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, thank you, members of the Commission. My name is Ben Bueller Garcia. I am the Southern Arizona Advocate for the Arizona Multi-Housing Association, We're the largest organization in the state representing multifamily developers, owners, and builders. I'm not being rude. I actually don't own a camera, so I hope you'll be patient with me. The issue right now is basic economics 101. It's supply and demand. Demand is high, supply is low, leading to higher prices. We need to increase the supply in order to reduce the prices. Because Mayor and Council appointed you as the leading citizen body for addressing this issue, I want to share a canary in the coal mine moment with you. A recent study by the National Home Builders and the National Multi-Housing Association showed that 40 to 43% of the cost of building housing was nothing but government fees and regulations. Let that sink in. That's nearly half of the cost of putting a roof over someone's head is nothing but government regulations and rules. Now, some policy members are talking about addressing the crisis, but frankly, from our perspective, the actions they're taking are actually creating the opposite effect. They are increasing the cost of building housing. Now, let me give you an example, local example, Tucson. Even assuming that you have a property that's already rezoned and you don't have to go through the cost and expense of doing that, right now, it's about $15,000 to $20,000 more expensive to build in the city of Tucson than in Pima County, Marana, Saudita, other areas. Now, these are per door figures I'm citing for you. $5,000 of that is due to the additional 2% sales tax. It takes another $5,000 to $7,000 per door to comply with the EV ordinance. And by the way, national insurance carriers are raising rates or not underwriting projects if they have EV chargers due to the fire dangers. Add another $3,000 per door for impact fees. City staff is recommending a 7% increase in developmental fees. And from what we've seen, the updated valuation tables that they're looking to use could mean an additional $18,000 in cost. If the current International Building Code amendments go through as proposed, that will add another $20,000 per door. The outdoor lighting code changes will add more costs. We're looking at a potential resilient building code that will definitely add costs. And of course, there's a transaction privilege tax on the July ballot. The practical reality is, if one looks at the trend reports, if you don't count publicly subsidized affordable housing and the huge student towers going up around the U of A, there's very little in the pipeline within the city limits. One, maybe two projects. Sacramento is one of the cities that's actually having success. Their formula is simple. They reduced the fees and they added flexibility to zoning regulations. Nothing more than that. Again, the mayor and council formed your group to give recommendations. I encourage you as a commission to begin looking at these specific issues, and thank you for your time this evening.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ben. Is there anybody else who would like to speak? Ben made some interesting points. Maybe at the end of this meeting today, we could talk about if we want to address any of those as a future agenda item. Marianne?
Sorry. My computer's not being nice to me today. I'd like to put this on the agenda. I think the increase in fees needs to be discussed, and I also think that in the housing subcommittee, we can pursue this a little bit further and compare costs. And I would like Mr. Garcia to send us, that information so that we can take this a little bit further.
Yeah, I have some of that information. I actually did a presentation to the Southern Arizona Home Builders Association a couple weeks ago. And I did a little bit of research on the pipeline in Tucson for multifamily. And it is very thin for everything. I think the three projects that I saw that were still kind of moving forward were affordable deals, student housing deals, and then projects downtown where they can get much higher rents. Outside of those three categories, I'm not hearing or seeing much that's really moving forward at this point. And it's a combination of a lot of things, but I think that we need to talk about this as a future agenda item. Marianne?
Thanks. I still would like to talk about the cost, not just, you know, at the pipeline that Mr. Garcia just raised. And so if he could send you, Jim, you know, or me or somebody that information, you know, that he's gathered, I think we should take a look at this and perhaps in the housing subcommittee.
Hey, Corin, when is that impact fee decision supposed to be made?
So just to weigh in a little bit, there's a couple things happening. One is an update to our development review fees, which are like the building permit fees and other development review fees. That we published a notice of intent at the beginning of this year. We actually need to amend that because we found some inconsistencies in our building code tables. So we've asked Mayor and Council to adopt an updated notice to update development review fees at the meeting next week on Tuesday, April 9th. If they adopt that, then there will be a public posting and comment period for 60 days. And we anticipate a public hearing with Mayor and Council June 18th for potential adoption and, you know, an effective date of July 1, potentially. So those are for development review fees. There's also, we've started the process to review and update our impact fees for the city, and that's also a public process. There are two different sets of fees because they go to very different, they have very different purposes, but of course they both affect the cost of development. So they're on different timelines. The development review fees could be adopted this year. Impact fees wouldn't be adopted until next year. And there's a long process ahead for with opportunity for public input.
Okay, so there's time. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, anybody else want to speak in the call to audience? Ray, do you want to speak?
I just had a question with that. Will you be sharing that information about the impact fee increases with the commission?
Absolutely. So I can share information about the development review fee proposal and as well as the impact fees.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right, just making some notes here, sorry. Okay, our next agenda item is the Prosperity Initiative and PCHIP. Who's presenting that from HCD? Is Allison, are you doing that?
Yeah, I can kick this off. And I actually wonder if maybe we swap them and Silena do PCHIP first, and then we can kind of talk about Prosperity Initiative because I think they're related or can be related. So, Lena, if you want to talk about PCHIP first.
Yep, can do. Let me just get my screen set up. Okay, can you all see my screen? Okay. Great. So, hi everyone. Again, my name is Lena Perel. I'm a lead planner at Housing and Community Development. And last month I gave you guys a brief. Oh, Allison?
I was just going to say, I think at least I see the display.
Oh.
So you can swap, like go to the display settings at the top in the middle.
Yep.
And then
there we go.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. Sorry, guys. So again, my name is Lena Perel. I'm a lead planner with Housing and Community Development. Last month, I gave you guys a brief update on PCHIP, our People, Communities, and Homes Investment Plan, and how we're doing an update this year. It was decided last time that I'll come back about every month just to give an update on where we are. So I'll just quickly go over a few things. So again, just a reminder that our PCHIP is our framework for investing in communities experiencing vulnerability in Tucson by directing funding towards homeless services, housing stability, neighborhood enhancements, and more. It identifies priorities eligible for support from Tucson's federal and local funding sources and better administered by HCD. And again, we have the three focus areas, which are people, communities, and homes. And I went over this timeline last time. So right now we are in that April to June period, which is we're about to kick off our community engagement. So we're going to be kind of kicking that off on April 17th. And then we'll kind of be continuing that through the end of June. From mid-April through the end of May, we see that as more of our broader community engagement period, doing surveys and kickoff events. And then June, we see kind of more focus groups with subject matter experts after we kind of narrow down what we hear from the community. Again, these are our community engagement goals. So we want to gather meaningful and comprehensive feedback, foster equity, inclusion, and belonging. Make sure we have access, the public has access to information and opportunity, build trust and transparency, and make sure that people's contributions have impacts. So with our different engagement methods, so just as an update, I kind of talked about these the last time. So we're going to have our project website updated. So we are having branding and a new logo done for PCHIP. So we're going to be updating our website in the next week or so, where we'll have our survey and different engagement opportunities. We'll be having email and print materials. We're creating postcards and flyers and press releases right now to kind of get people engaged and ready for our survey and our kickoff events. We'll be making various social media posts and some videos for the upcoming events, as well as showcasing how HCD funds have been used for previous projects. Our survey, I'll go a little more into the survey on the next slide, but we are launching it on April 17th online, but we will also have print surveys available for those who need those. We'll have different pop-up and public events that we'll be at throughout April, May, and June, and we're planning to have our kickoff meetings throughout the month of May. And then again, kind of like I said before, we'll have our focus groups in June after this more broader community outreach right now. So these are some of the draft survey questions that we have for our survey. So we are going to be asking, what do you see as Tucson's biggest challenges in creating equitable access to opportunity for all of its residents? What should the city of Tucson fund to address those challenges? And then these are two possible questions that we're kind of workshopping. One of them being, should the city of Tucson prioritize funding programs and initiatives that focus on preventing poverty or alleviating poverty? And should the city of Tucson prioritize funding for existing programs and projects or focus more on new programs and projects? So those are just a few of the questions that we are in draft format at the moment. So these are currently some of the engagement and pop-up opportunities that we have on our calendars. So we'll be at the Plan Tucson Cross-Cutting event on April 23rd. We'll be at Ward 1's Dia de la Niñas event on April 27th. We'll be at the Southwest Fair Housing Council's Resource Fair on April 27th as well. So we'll kind of be splitting up to make sure we're at both of those events. We'll be at the Thrive in the 505 Resource Fair on May 4th. And then we're also hoping that you all, if you know of any other engagement opportunities or areas that we can come and either do the survey or present, we would love to know about those. These are the dates of our three kickoff events for PCHIP. So the first one will be on May 2nd at El Pueblo Activity Center from 5:30 to 7 p.m. We're having another one the week after on May 8th at the Boys and Girls Club out on Grant and Country Club from 6 to 7:30. And then we're going to have one meeting, a kickoff event on Zoom on May 14th. Actually, before I get to the last slide, one thing that we know is that the next commission meeting is on May 2nd. I think, Allison, do you want to talk about this?
Sure, I can jump in if you want. So kind of thinking about commission meetings and our PCHIP launch, right, limited days in the month, and really identified May 2nd as a really good opportunity to do a lot of engagement and want to do it at El Pueblo. In kind of talking with Jay and Jim about kind of the cadence of virtual versus in-person slash hybrid meetings, right? We, I believe, decided at last month or the month before on kind of trying to do quarterly in-person slash hybrid commission, full commission meetings. And so May is actually the day that, you know, we, based on doing the in-person event in February, the next quarterly in-person slash hybrid meeting would be in May. So we wanted to propose kind of a piggyback, back-to-back event where we do have a large meeting room with some hybrid capabilities at our, at the El Pueblo Center, kind of where our Housing First and Community Safety Health and Wellness teams are located. And so we were thinking of offering that room to have our kind of in-person hybrid CHD meeting from 4 to maybe 5:30, if we're okay with truncating by half an hour. And then having the PCHIP meeting kick off at 5:30. And so that way, that would sort of count as our PCHIP update to you all, if you're all able to, whoever's able to kind of stay and attend the in-person PCHIP meeting, we'd love to have you all, and we'll have food so that you're not starving over the course of a few hours of fun. So just wanted to open that up. I think, I don't know if we need like a formal motion or anything, but I think without objection, I guess, Jim, if you're okay with that, that's kind of our proposal for next meeting. Just wanted to make sure that folks are okay with that. And Mindy, or if, I don't know if Jim wants to facilitate.
What is the address?
Good question. It's Irvington and 6th Avenue.
It's 195 West Irvington.
So kind of near like the rodeo ground. And we can make sure everyone has all of the location details. Marianne.
Sorry, I had to step out for a moment. The CEHD meeting would be at 4.
Yeah.
And the PCHIP time. Would be at what time?
5:30
to 7. Okay, I'm okay with that.
All right.
I make a motion that the next Commission on Equal Housing and Development meeting be a hybrid at 4 on May 2nd at the Irvington and 6th location, followed by the PCHIP update.
Second.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second to do an in-person hybrid meeting May 2nd at 4 p.m. at the El Pueblo location. Is there any discussion? Okay, Maggie? Call the vote, sorry.
Aye.
Okay. Marianne? Aye. Okay. Mindy?
Aye.
Lori?
Aye.
Tisha?
Aye.
Ray?
Aye.
Kenny?
Aye.
And Jay?
Aye.
Okay. The ayes have it.
Thank you. We'll move forward with that. That's super helpful. We're excited to start, really publicizing those events. So that's really helpful to have that ironed out. I think maybe let's do just kind of any discussion on Lena's presentation to date. So, right, if there are other pop-up events that the commission knows about that we could kind of piggyback on, PCHIP outreach, right? We really want to get out into kind of low income areas of the community in particular. And if there, right, is any feedback on those survey questions, those draft survey questions, I think are kind of our top two questions. Maggie.
Sorry, did you call on me?
Yeah.
So, I'm like having problems today. We're the land trust is having a home ownership fair on June 1st. And right now we have the facilities at the HCD's offices, the Santa, whatever the meeting rooms, but we may actually look for a bigger venue, hopefully maybe the El Rio. Anyway, so we'll let you know. But thanks.
Great. Thanks, Maggie.
Thank you. Anything else on the PCHIP?
So then we had one other question we wanted to kind of tee up for the group, and I'm going to hand it over to Jason.
Sure. Thanks, Allison. So a question for the group to sort of be thinking about over the next month, and we can discuss it more in May, but is how the commission wants to be involved in the grant-making process that follows this PCHIP planning process, right? So we think about the PCHIP planning process we're in right now. One of the key outcomes of that is it establishes the priorities for our annual grant making. And so we'll be issuing our call for projects later this fall, and we'll be due at the end of the calendar year, and likely in January and early February is when we would have our review processes and such. And so in 2 years ago when we did PCHIP, we had members of the commission, we invited all members of the commission who were not conflicted, meaning they weren't associated with an organization that had an application for funding in. We asked those commissioners to participate on the review panel. That's only a fairly small group of the commissioners because, right, this is a group of experts because you live and work in this space. And so often the city funds your organizations. So it was a kind of small group of commissioners that were able to participate. And it's also a pretty extensive time commitment. Then, you know, more recently with the home and state and local fiscal recovery funds, affordable housing, or request for proposal process that we conducted just a few months ago, we had the applicants come and do a brief presentation for the commission. The commission scored those presentations. And so want to kind of debrief both of those processes with the commission next time, and think about did one of those work really well? Do we want to do one of those again for this competition? Do we want to do something different? We just want to make sure that we're providing meaningful opportunities for you to participate in HCD's grant making to the extent that you want to participate in that. So not trying to make it harder than it needs to be, but really value the input that the commission has and want to provide opportunities for you to be weighing into how and to whom we are making grant awards. So again, we'll agendize more of a conversation on that for next month, but wanted to kind of lay the seeds now so that that's something you can let percolate over the next month.
Okay, thank you, Jason. I think that's really interesting. I have some thoughts, but before I share mine, I guess I'd like to open it up to the rest of the commissioners if there's anybody. Yeah, Tisha?
Yeah, I mean, the thing that comes to mind offhand is process and what the process is, and maybe the commission can carry some type of recommendation in regard to process if there's something that we'd like included or considered.
Yeah, Jason or Jay?
Thanks, Jim. I guess my initial reaction is I don't know that that would be the best use of our time. I just feel like we've got so many other things on our plate that we're kind of struggling to move forward. So I guess, you know, I would want to know, you know, I think Tisha raises a great point. And then also, you know, what would be useful? What does city staff think would be useful in terms of our participation? You know, what are the things that we could contribute? Because again, I know that, you know, this process is already set up and there are already folks that are reviewing that, you know, obviously have some expertise. So I would be inclined not to have the commission participate.
Any other comments? So I kind of have a different perspective than Jay on this. I think that participating in these types of decision-making processes where we can see, you know, what's happening and, you know, the projects that are being proposed, I think would help us in terms of formulating recommendations. I also believe that being involved in the decision process is an important, I think, component for the long-term viability of this commission. I think it gives us something tangible that we have a responsibility for. It is going to be additional work for the commission members, you know, to, I mean, if we want to actually provide value, we're going to have to, you know, read the proposals. It is a time commitment. I've participated in other things like this, and it can be 8 hours to review proposals and the projects that come in. But I think we're a very appropriate group to be doing something like that. So, and I agree with Tisha as well, is that we need to kind of vet out the process before participating and making, you know, so everybody's probably not going to want to participate. But I think it would make sense to open it up to people who do want to participate. And, you know, if the members are willing to put in the time, I think we will provide value. So, Marianne?
Yeah, I have a couple questions for Jason. The PCHIP is mostly for services, correct?
Our PCHIP grant making is human services grant making. And then we separately do our public facilities grant making when we have those opportunities, as well as our affordable housing.
So I agree with Jay. We're the Commission on Housing, Equitable Housing and Development. And I think the city has a good process in place already for, you know, taking care of the evaluation and reviews of grants for human services, support services, and for facilities. I don't think it's our role as a commission to be involved in this piece of it.
So I really appreciate all of that diversity of perspective. So thanks to all of you. And so my thought then would be, and I realize I say next meeting, and maybe what we should really be talking about is in the June meeting, since we're already truncating May. But so maybe in the June meeting, I'm going to correct myself there. If we come back, and I'm happy to do a brief, you know, kind of crash course presentation, not a prolonged presentation, but on what our grant making process looks like right now. So there is that opportunity for the commission to weigh in, one, on the process as a whole, but two, that probably also illuminates the spots where you could say, hey, we do see a role for us in here, or hey, we don't. You know, and I think at a minimum, we're always going to invite you as individuals to participate in the review panels, and, you know, at each individual's discretion, to decide whether or not to do that, just because we know that you have expertise and we're always looking for great experts to participate on our panels. But so, if the group's comfortable with that, really happy to come back in June with a brief overview of what our process generally looks like, for your input and thoughts about how you want to move forward, involved or not as much, like to what extent.
Kenny?
Thanks for sharing. It's sort of a quick follow-up, and I appreciate the, you know, everyone's thoughts. I'm wondering, is there another forum where all those projects are presented publicly, besides the presentation to the commission?
So we don't do, currently we don't have presentations as a part of our process. There are other communities do. So for anyone who works in Maricopa County, it's a pretty standard part of most of their jurisdiction's processes that there's like a 2 to 3 minute presentation that folks make, and that's a public presentation. But often also in front of their elected bodies or their grant making panels. So that's the kind of thing we floated as an idea. But I don't think, you know, just because it's something our neighbors do, not because it's something that we need to do by any means.
So So for me, I just to throw my thought out there too is it, that underscores kind of the value. You know, I kind of lean towards what Jim was sharing, that there is a public presentation as part of the process.
Thanks so much. So I think if folks are comfortable with it, we will make sure to get some time on the agenda in June to kind of walk through our process and have a bit more of a conversation.
Okay, any final thoughts or questions on the PCHIP? Okay, then let's move on to the Prosperity Initiative. So, Allison, I'm going to kick it back to you.
Sure. So the reason why I think that these things are related is I think right the our PCHIP like HCD's PCHIP process is one area in which I think we have the opportunity to incorporate some of the policies of the Prosperity Initiative. So as we discussed last month, we kind of did a high-level overview of Prosperity Initiative with Bonnie. And ask that folks review the whole report for a discussion today on kind of broadly again, how do we see the Commission on Equitable Housing and Development advising HCD and Mayor and Council on the kind of implementation next steps or ways to really focus our work. And so that's broadly the discussion. I don't have a presentation other than that, right? I think folks like Tisha have been very involved on the community end and really just kind of wanted to open it up as a discussion, kind of similar to the PCHIP conversation. There's not currently kind of a city body specifically like a commission specifically tasked with implementation of the Prosperity Initiative. Or oversight of the Prosperity Initiative, I would say. So that was one question that Anne kind of had. Do we want to focus? You know, I think there are several policies that are directly related to CEHD's charge, like the housing mobility and housing stability and neighborhood reinvestment policies. But also there's 10 other policies that are incorporated into the Prosperity Initiative. And so just wanted to kind of open it up for discussion with this group of kind of initial thoughts, what you're really excited about, how you're interested in being a part of that implementation piece. I see Mary Ann's hand, and then I saw Tisha.
Yeah, I think I agree with what you just said, Allison, on the housing mobility, the housing stability, and then where that relates to redevelopment, those would be an appropriate place for us, to be involved because I believe that'll take into also consideration the, economic development and also the equitable housing.
Mary Ann, what's that? And then Tisha?
Yeah, thanks, Allison. It's unfunded. I know there's no budget for it, so that's one thing the commission should keep in mind. But I think our role in the Housing First Subcommittee voted on a goal that's similar to what I'm about to say. But I think because it's not funded, one of the things that we could contribute are recommendations on strategies for implementation. So my two cents.
And then Jay. Sorry, I'm like typing notes as I go so that it goes through my fingers into my brain. So also feel free to just jump in.
I mean, as I've said a number of times before, I mean, I think that this really, the Prosperity Initiative provides the framework that we need to do a lot of our work. But, you know, a lot of this stuff I think was highlighted when the commission was formed in the beginning. So, you know, there's a lot of overlap. And I just think that, you know, one of the struggles that we have had is, you know, how do we get from understanding, which I think we still have some work to do in terms of, you know, what is housing equity to actually seeing some of these policies come to fruition. So, I think, at least from the Equitable Housing Strategies Subcommittee standpoint, and I'll report back a little more later, but we've decided to take the next 3 months to really try and surface policies and things that other communities are doing to address some of these issues. So, we're hoping that we can, provide the full commission some ideas about, what the city can do to really implement some of these things. But, I don't think gentrification is named explicitly, but, basically gentrification is one of the things that's pointed out. Housing segregation, housing discrimination, access to opportunity in areas of high and low poverty, a lot of things we've been talking about before, again, are highlighted. So it's really, the struggle is still the same. It's how do we actually get these things done in our community to make housing and just the community more equitable in general. So, again, I just think that going forward, this really should be the main framework that we're using to measure what we're doing and to provide a benchmark moving forward for our success as a commission. I really think that's about it. I mean, I guess I just continue to think about also, all of the things that are already happening in the city that relate to this, but that, seem to orbit around the commission that don't really land. I mean, again, going back to, how are we measuring equity? It's like there's stuff going on with the Office of Equity, but, we're still not getting a whole lot of feedback there or, what's going on there. So anyway, a lot of kind of random thoughts, but I do think ultimately that this should be our framework moving forward as a commission, obviously related to the housing things and the prosperity initiative.
Jay, and then Marianne, did you have another
I did.
comment?
Is the Allison, is the city willing to wait, or does it have a, does it have a timeline? Because I agree with what Jay and Tisha have both said. And this, it does take some time.
Yeah, so right in adopting the Prosperity Initiative in January, Mayor and Council directed the city to kind of move forward with basically kind of the same implementation steps that Pima County agreed to, with the kind of caveat there that the city doesn't have direct Prosperity Initiative funded staff to coordinate this, but right, kind of the big picture items being identifying a way to evaluate the Prosperity Initiative policies citywide and identify where kind of each department role comes into one or more of the policies. So one thing that we've started talking about internally is right, our Office of Equity is doing kind of departmental equity budget analyses and is thinking about kind of, a citywide equity action plan and helping departments with their own equity action plan. And so have started some conversations about can the Prosperity Initiative be kind of combined into that and kind of give each department kind of TA around what does equity and prosperity look like in each of our departments. So that's kind of one option we're looking at. And then right, kind of some of the other items are identifying metrics. And so that's kind of an ongoing conversation community-wide with Pima County and kind of with the cohort that's going through the Mobility Action Learning Network with Urban Institute. So, and then I'm like blanking on kind of all of the other broad steps, but those are the two big ones I think internally for both Pima County and City of Tucson. And then I think Tisha could obviously talk more about kind of the community-wide effort. But so timeline, I think there's kind of a broad timeline to kind of come back annually to review to review kind of action on the Prosperity Initiative, and then every other year, kind of reviewing the policies. So we know we want to go back to Mayor and Council with, like, here's what the city thinks we can do related to the prosperity initiative, but I don't have a specific timeline of, like, in the next 2 months. We need to decide exactly what policies. What I'll say, like, internally at HCD is we're really thinking about how can we incorporate all of the prosperity initiative policies into PCHIP. And that, I mean, that's one of the questions that Lena teed up, which is, right, a lot of our often human services funding goes towards kind of alleviating symptoms of poverty. And is there an opportunity to also fund kind of the preventing poverty policies that are detailed in the prosperity initiative? And what's the balance, right? Because we don't want to move all of the funding towards one thing and at the expense of that other funding. So
my question now, based on what you're saying, is if you're giving specific departments, you know, part of the prosperity initiative to take a look at, you know, how is there someone looking at what departments should be talking to the commission to be able to provide some feedback or work with a department, or, you know, how are you looking at where the commission fits into this spread throughout the city that you guys are considering?
So I think that's part of the question here, right? Is like, right, there's a policy on transportation and mobility access, right? And that sort of lives very squarely in the transportation and mobility department. But obviously we work kind of across departments, kind of how does that relate to housing and land use and things like that. So I think part of the question is that something that this commission would want kind of input on, for instance, with transportation policy or on the small businesses policy that our economic initiatives team works on? Or are we kind of more focused on those, like, housing and neighborhood specific investment policies? And Corin, I don't know if you want to jump in and help on the PDSC end.
This is a huge undertaking.
Yeah. There's like, in some ways it's almost impossible to kind of go over all of the policies in one, with one commission. I see Jay, Mindy, and Tisha.
Yeah, and I just really want to follow up on what Marianne was saying, because I think that is kind of where I was going. I mean, you know, this is to me exactly what the commission should be doing, right? The city's got a much clearer framework now about how to create a more equitable Tucson with clear housing policies or things identified. So, you know, in a lot of ways, I really think it's up to HCD and other city departments to really clarify, you know, what value we can add to what the city is working on. And, you know, I also get the idea that it's not exactly funded, but in the same way, it's like, I kind of think of this as like an overlay zone in a lot of ways. It's like, you know, it's not funded exactly, but, you know, if you're really looking at PCHIP and your other funding streams through this lens, then, you know, essentially they can be funded. I also am interested to know, again, you know, I think it gives us a good opportunity to really, you know, think about what an equitable Tucson really would look like. So, you know, if the prosperity initiative were fully implemented with robust policies, et cetera, what would that actually cost? You know, I know that there's no way that the city of Tucson has anywhere near the money to do the things that would need to be done. But I do think it's important to know, you know, in a perfect world, if we had the money, what would we be looking at? I think, you know, Matthew Desmond's latest book, Poverty by America, one of the things that's so powerful about that book is he says, you know, though it's a rough estimate and, you know, you could do it different ways, this is what it would cost to end poverty in this country. And I think that, you know, having that kind of framework is important so that we are not under the impression that, poverty is an intractable problem that just can't be solved. I just really don't believe that. So knowing what it would cost to actually, eradicate poverty and create an equitable Tucson, I think would be a good place to go. So again, I just think it's really important for, the city departments, HCD, to be the ones really to think about, what's the best way to engage this commission in that work, because you guys are doing it every day. You guys know the details. And, for me, I'll speak for myself, from the outside looking in, it's hard to really say, oh, well, we should be engaged in this part and that part, not this part, not that part. So anyway, probably repeating myself at this point, but anyway, it's exciting.
Okay. And Mindy, did you still want to?
Yeah, touch a little bit on, I started digging into the 250-page document, and found myself curious about how some of these initiative policies will be funded. I found, for instance, I had some reaction to the earn to learn, earn to learn being a maximum of $4,500 for an individual, which does not cover the cost of going to school, even with a Pell Grant. So I saw when I started digging in, I came up with more questions on the policies and how viable they really would be in decreasing poverty. So I'm going to continue digging into the 250-page document. And I thank you for doing the work. How are we going to fund it? It's great. Well-written, very thoughtful, covered all the areas. But where's the money going? Where's the money going to come from? That's my big question.
And to be clear, right, I think a lot that's in there is, adopting the policies is kind of high level goals and strategies that are available to local governments that have evidence behind them that really show that they reduce poverty long term. But right, to Tisha's point, the policies didn't identify new funding to implement programs. That's kind of the next step, right? Is there more funding that's needed? Where does that come from? Are there ways to kind of align, my favorite terms, align and leverage, kind of what's currently going on, right? How are there ways that we can change existing city policies, infrastructure, practices, things like that? So, That is the many, probably millions of dollar question, Mindy, is where does new funding come from to kind of support more initiatives related to the prosperity initiative? Tisha?
Yeah, so I'll talk to that point first, since it's front of mind. I actually think that the answer is collaboration. So, while the city is working out internal alignment with the Prosperity Initiative, that we can all lend expertise in regards to how the Prosperity Initiative implementation within the city aligns with all of our respective work, organizations, so on and so forth. I also think that, we have the time as a commission to make recommendations that are outside of the city of Tucson. That might actually be somewhat in alignment with current programming, but maybe it's a different approach, or maybe there's just a nuance that maybe would create better alignment or further alignment in regards to prosperity initiative. So the focus, everything that's in the prosperity initiative is basically housing, jobs, education, healthcare, and those are all the big overhead 10,000 feet indicators of well-being that all like work in continuum and feed on each other to determine whether or not there's permanent economic mobility, permanent housing being one of those things. So because of that, because there's this interplay, however, we are an equitable housing commission, I do think we need to focus on those housing bits, and the city needs to determine how the internal alignment works with all of their other respective departments with what they do. To Jay's point, you know, the cost or the expense involved in us reducing poverty here in the city of Tucson, I think is a very good question. I think there's also another way of looking at that, and that's through the opportunity report that was disseminated around by Jim Kaiser. And also Pima County has done an economic report as well. Heath, and I cannot think of his last name, but maybe Allison knows. Yep. No, not Keith. Oh. Heath in the Pima County Economic Department. They've determined that we are losing out on $3 billion in potential income by not realizing people's economic mobility. And I think the Kaiser report says $2.8 billion, and that's based on extrapolation of a framework that was utilized by Raj Chetty of the Harvard University Opportunity Insights. So, you know, we can approach it in different ways, whether it's how much does it cost or how much are we losing. You know, both of those things are important to the narrative.
I think I'm hearing kind of yes, at least the commission wants to weigh in on the housing policies, but wants to also sort of have, you know, kind of HCD staff make sure other related policies or initiatives also come to the commission. I think my kind of proposal moving forward would be, right, like the city's also kind of figuring this out as we go, so we don't so kind of want to keep you guys updated with what that's looking like. And then specifically, I think as we're going through this PCHIP process, kind of have you guys weigh in on how PCHIP is really incorporating prosperity initiative principles, especially those kind of three housing and kind of neighborhood reinvestment policies. Marianne.
So I just want to say with that, this prosperity initiative and everything that, you know, is on the table right now and being looked at, and so much work is going into it, I think it's a little early to put it in the next round of PCHIP. I think that having your plan in place, or a better plan or something more solid than this, is, you know, a good idea. That's just my comment on that.
Which I like, yeah, I appreciate, I think in my mind, the kind of idea of going through the PCHIP planning process, asking some of those questions about the trade-offs between around our grant-making activities and having some of the focus groups and policy discussions that Lena kind of laid out over the next several months. I think in my mind, that's kind of how I'm thinking of wanting to lay out a plan for incorporating prosperity initiative into kind of HCD grant making and other kind of investment initiatives.
Okay, so there's three questions on the agenda. So how would the commission like to be involved in the city's implementation of the Prosperity Initiative? How are there specific policies the commission would like to advise mayor and council on? And then HED recognizes that the copy of the initiative has been sent out, has accessibility issues. HED is working with. Okay, so there's really two questions. Mm-hmm. How does the commission want to be involved? And do we want to make specific policy recommendations to mayor and council? As we've been talking about this, I'm not great at multitasking, but I've been trying to kind of go through the Prosperity Initiative as well. And I think there's some really great things in here that are very applicable to this commission. But it is such a big, it's hard to come up with a process, right, for us to be involved. You know, we could kick it down to one of the subcommittees. We could take it in bite-sized chunks where, you know, there's probably three, maybe four recommendations in the initiative that I think are applicable to us. And so maybe we just separate each of them and do one of those recommendations in a monthly meeting. I guess that's the question I'd like to throw out to the team, the group, is how would you guys like for see us being involved in this?
Jim?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess I just kind of feel like it's kind of like we told Jason earlier. It's like, well, you know, come back to us with kind of what the process would be like and kind of what would be useful for the city. I don't remember exactly what we said for the PCHIP thing, but to me, it's really early, and it just seems like we need more information about what's the city going to even be doing going forward. So, you know, it feels really hard to say, you know, let's do this or let's do that at this point for me.
Okay. Marianne?
Yeah, I agree with Jay. I think all of us who have had something to say have kind of alluded to that we'd like to keep it in the categories that, you know, relates to this commission, and ask the city to look at that and let us know exactly what they're looking at from the commission. And then if we get that kind of cleared up and get a clearer perspective of that, then we can take it in bite-sized, you know, chunks where the full commission is going to read just increasing housing, mobility, and opportunity in that big report and come back and discuss it. So I think we really, the next step is for the city to come back to us with what relates to what we're doing specifically, and let us know, you know, their thoughts.
Jenny?
Kind of sharing some of those same ideas, you know, what is it that we could do that's complementary? I would like to see us discuss each of the points that we think are related. And just off the bat, you know, I mean, it's the increasing housing mobility and opportunity, improving housing stability. And Jim, I think the other two maybe you were looking at as well were the ones around transportation to disadvantaged communities and quality of life and opportunity in high poverty areas. So even already that I think is like cutting down quite a bit of, you know, the material. And those, to me at least, they seem quite directly related to what we're supposed to be thinking about. So I don't know. I'm also open to the idea of like the subcommittee, you know, kind of crunching on things a little bit in more detail. But I think a discussion across us is valuable.
Tisha?
Yeah, I think maybe Allison provided the suggested time frame, and that's after the city has determined the internal alignment piece on the Prosperity Initiative, then maybe per Jay's request that there's some sort of presentation or recitation of what the city is thinking about in regards to strategies around implementation on the housing piece. And then maybe after that, we choose based on where there might be gaps, where we might be able to lend some ideas or brain power behind. And then I also agree with Kenny on the subcommittee approach too, but that also might be a weight thing.
Okay, so I'm going to throw it back to Allison. Based on the comments that you've heard, are you good for now? Do you have other questions or things you want to talk about?
I think this is helpful feedback, and we'll kind of discuss internally with HDD and just keep having the conversation.
Yeah. In regards to the second question about policies to advise mayor and council on, I'm guessing that there will be once we go through this process. I don't think we have anything at this time, but I think as we go through it, there probably will be some recommendations that come out of that.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Okay, any last comments on the Prosperity Initiative before we move down to the HCD update?
I just want to thank Allison and Jason and Lena for this whole section and this whole discussion.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, HCD update. So Anne's out and Ernesto is out. Jason, were you going to give the update today?
So I believe we are sort of tag teaming. So a different of us are giving different parts of the updates. And so I know the first item is Fair Housing Month, which I think, Allison, are you covering that?
Sure, I can. And I actually think I might punt a little to Jay too, if he would like to jump in, but Ernesto's been working with Jay on kind of promoting some Fair Housing Month activities. So we have a proclamation that the mayor is giving on the 9th, this coming mayor and council meeting, right, Jay? great. So if any other commissioners would like to come, we can confirm that and send you all an invite if you'd like to join that mayor and council proclamation. And then we kind of mentioned in the PCHIP update, right, we'll be there at housing, Southwest Fair Housing Council's Fair Housing event on April 27th. Jay, do you want to add anything there?
There is definitely a mayor and council proclamation, but I have one of my staff members is doing it, and I don't actually know when it is. And yes, April is Fair Housing Month, and I appreciate the spotlight here. We are doing an event on Saturday, April 27th. It's going to be at Armory Park from 10 to 2. There are 10 to 15 community partners that are going to be tabling. And if there's anybody on the call that wants to participate that we haven't reached out to or, you know, doesn't know about it, you can hit me up anytime and I can put you in touch with my staff. But the event at Armory Park is, you know, obviously going to be fair housing centered, but is going to highlight and showcase other agencies and partners around Tucson that are working in the housing space and providing services. I think that's really about it. If you want to know more about fair housing generally or want to take a fair housing training, you can go to our website. Everything's accessible there. Or you know me, so you can give me a call or shoot me an email.
Thanks, Jay. Jason, do you want to talk about the Amplify Housing First Resource Center?
Sure. So as folks, I think are everyone is aware, the city has been working to convert the old Amphi Station 8, which is a decommissioned fire station located on King Road near Prince and between Oracle and Stone, into a congregate shelter facility in the old fire station, and then a non-congregate shelter environment in the back lot that is part of that parcel. So we've been holding a series of public meetings, the third of which was two Saturdays ago now. We actually held that public meeting on site at the fire station. It was competing with the U of A basketball game during March Madness. So not hugely attended, but definitely participation from the local community. And that public meeting actually took a different format where we generally our public meetings are kind of some talking heads, present, and then group kind of conversation feedback, passing the mic, question and answer. And so in this session, what we did instead was really had a series of tables where people in each table had a specific topic, sort of, you know, current conditions in the community, or what operation of services will look like on the site, what the planned area development or PAD will look like, zoning kind of changes. And so people were able to self-select into the conversations they wanted to be a part of, which turned out to be really valuable. Another thing that stood out that was really valuable was having a table for current community conditions. What we find is often we want to talk about the future and the community wants to talk about what they're experiencing right now, quite understandably. And so giving folks the forum to have that conversation and then move on to the future conversations seemed to be really positive. So then we have secured the funding that is necessary for the congregate shelter portion. And so are beginning to advance requests for proposals for an architect to design that space, all that. So we're super excited about that. The planned area development. And so I know for some of you, that's super familiar. For others, kind of like, what does this mean? It is a development model that allows us to change the underlying zoning in a specific area. That's going to be as far as I'm going to describe, or else I'm going to start making things up because I'm not an expert in this topic, but if you have questions, Corin is here. But so the planned area development needs to go through review and approval. That includes review by the zoning examiner. And so that zoning examiner public hearing has been scheduled for May 2nd. So another item on May 2nd's agenda, it's a busy day at HCD. So the zoning examiner will review the planned area development. If that's then approved by the zoning examiner, it'll be forwarded to mayor and council for approval, likely in June. And that will allow us to really begin to move forward on construction. So progressing as planned, we're on timeline, seeing positive response from the community, while we also work to mitigate some of the inevitable challenges that folks experience when a homeless shelter moves in next door. Not pretending that that doesn't pose challenges as well. So really working with the community to proactively identify solutions to some of those challenges.
Marianne?
Yeah. What's the resource center part of this?
Sure. So it'll provide overnight shelter, but during the day, it'll also be open as essentially like a term that's kind of commonly used now is a navigation center. So that where you've got overnight shelter provided, but also you have a day resource center where people are being connected to services, both folks who are residing in the shelter as well as other folks who may be experiencing homelessness and are local to that area. As we're opening new shelters, we're really looking at these opportunities to make sure that we're putting day resource centers in with the shelter, partly so that everything is operating 24 hours a day, folks aren't being kicked out onto the streets midday or in the mornings, and really making sure that people, that we're not just providing a place to sleep, but we're really providing pathways out of homelessness. So having those services available on site and providing that setting for folks who maybe aren't ready to come into shelter. Or don't, you know, have kind of been burned by the system before, don't trust it, coming in during the day, taking a shower, like those are all opportunities like street outreach to build rapport, and allow folks to become more willing to engage in shelter or other housing services.
So will there be food served there as well?
So I suspect that is the plan. It certainly will be for shelter residents. We are very early in what program planning looks like, mm-hmm. Marianne. So, I live in the world that food is one of the first things that brings people through a door. So I want to be able to say yes to you there. And I assume the answer is yes, but I think we are too early to probably answer that question with any firmness.
Well, I think this is my last question. Who is operating it?
So the plan is for the initial launch for the city to operate it, potentially to maybe cooperate it with a nonprofit. But the city would operate it initially. And then kind of looking at whether long-term that makes sense or whether long-term a nonprofit will take it over. So still question marks in there. If it becomes a nonprofit that will operate it, we would put that out for a request for through a request for proposals for organizations to apply.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Any other questions or comments regarding the AmFi Housing Resource Center?
So
and then I'll put it.
Just congratulations.
Yeah. The kind of third update we have on our list is South 10th Avenue. So I think we've mentioned it here before, right? The city owns a former transfer station on South 10th Avenue, just south of 22nd Street. It's, I think, a 12-acre-ish site that's kind of a big opportunity for affordable housing development. So we're kind of in early stages of deciding kind of what to do on that site. We have been working with the Ward 1 Council office and did kind of a canvassing survey of the surrounding community in January, early February, and have been working on a kind of neighborhood meeting to give an update and gather more feedback. That will happen on May 9th, but not on May 2nd, but 1 week later, May 9th. So it's mainly geared towards the surrounding community. We'll be doing postcards, invites to the surrounding neighborhood. Commission members are welcome to attend though. So I believe it's May 9th, I wanna say, Lena, correct me if I'm wrong, 5:30 at the Southside Presbyterian Church.
Yes.
But we can make sure everyone kind of gets that invite if they're interested in attending.
Right. Could you put that information in the chat?
Yes.
Thank you.
I will do that. So that, I think, concludes the HCD update, unless other folks have kind of other questions about goings on.
Any final comments or questions on the HCD update? Okay, next agenda item is a subcommittee updates. We'll start with Housing First. Tisha?
Yes, thanks, Jim. We met and all of us were present, and we talked about and finalized and voted on and approved our three goals for this year. And then we also had an HCD update, and we made assignments in the committee meeting for us to talk to various cities to meet one of the goals, which was provide some recommendations potentially on other Housing First models in other cities that are similar to our size and our needs.
So I have the meeting minutes up from the retreat. So have the actual goals been changed on the meeting minutes?
Yes. So that main document, we didn't have any goals there. I met with HCD staff. We had a discussion the last meeting, and then we finalized it live in real time on the document, and it is on the document.
Okay. Do you want me to share that?
Sure.
Okay, I can't share my screen. Is there a way that can be set up so that I can?
Somebody from the city has to allow you to share.
Yeah, I think Rachel, are you able to do that?
Yeah, hey Jim, you should have co-host abilities now. Oops, wait, 1 second. I think I hit the option below and made him an attendee. So, one second.
But I did something wrong.
There, no, it was me. Sorry about that, Jim.
It's still
you should be a co-host now.
Yeah, I can't. Oh, here we go. Let's see here. What window is this? This is Firefox. All right. So can everybody see this? Okay. So the Housing First goals, and I think we're gonna drill into this a little bit more in the next agenda item. Tisha, is this accurate? Is this what you guys did?
That's correct.
Okay. So recommend policies from other Housing First programs in similar cities, including emergency interim responses, be implemented. Recommend program and service models used by other cities' Housing First programs. And third, recommend implementation ideas at the intersection of Housing First and the Prosperity Initiative.
That's correct.
Okay, that sounds great. Good job. Any comments or questions on Housing First? Now, didn't we change the name of Housing First?
No, that was the Jay's subcommittee.
Housing desegregation is now. Is still housing desegregation?
Equitable housing strategies.
Oh, I thought it was just called Jay's committee.
Equitable housing strategies. Okay. So we're going to do the equitable housing strategies update next, Jay.
Just since you have the goals up, I believe that we reviewed these and agreed that they're good how they are, eliminating number one and keeping two, three, and four. Does that sound right to everybody that was when we talked about this?
I think so. That's keeping them. We had decided on the changes at the subcommittee meeting, brought it back to the main meeting, and then are approving the changes we had made. That's right.
Cool. Thank you.
Thanks.
So our goals there are good. When we met, we had a good meeting, and it sounded actually a lot like what Tisha described that they did. We really talked about what we wanted to do for the year and worked on creating a plan. We also talked a lot about how to share information amongst each other as committee members. And one of the things that was brought up that I think is still an ongoing issue and is challenging but critical is making sure that all of the things that we're doing and sharing electronically are accessible to persons with disabilities. I know it's challenging, but really needs to, we all need to keep that front of mind. So, you know, we were talking about if we're going to share stuff, how are we ensuring that, you know, if it's public facing, that the things are accessible to persons with disabilities. So we talked about a number of, you know, mechanisms that we can use or services we can use to share information. But we talked a lot about, you know, looking at research centers around the country that are, you know, looking at equitable housing solutions, you know, lessons and info that they have, maybe what gaps are identified. We talked about home ownership versus rentals. We talked about the need to really focus in on housing stability as something that we have not really focused in on as a subcommittee or as a commission. We talked about, you know, potentially needing to look at laws at the state level as well that maybe are preventing cities like Tucson from implementing laws and policies that are creating more equitable housing. Let's see, we talked about homelessness as a big thing we need to focus on. And really over the next 3 months, April, May, and June, we agreed that we would really start digging as a subcommittee and surface these different ideas and policies and laws and whatnot from around the country to start to narrow things down that we think would be applicable to Tucson so that we can bring them forward, you know, as policy recommendations or, you know, at least surfacing those to the full commission for potential actions. So I think that pretty much covers what we talked about. If anybody has anything else to add, please do so, but that's what I remember.
Any comments or questions for Jay? Okay, thank you, Jay. Affordable housing, we did not hit quorum. So the meeting got rescheduled. I think there were some logistical issues getting notifications out to everybody. I am going to call all the commission members before our next meeting. So
it's on the 17th, isn't it?
Yeah, it's on the 7th. Actually, we're all here. Ray and no, not Ray, Kenny. And I think actually Wendy's not here. But I'm going to call and make sure we hit quorum and we'll get through our goals. I'm embarrassed that we didn't meet last time. So
it was changed from the end of March to the beginning of April. And Ernesto sent out just that Jim's requesting a change.
Yeah.
But nothing else happened from that. And so we think that other people didn't realize what was going on.
I'll take responsibility for the mistake. Kenny?
This is Maggie. I'm sorry. I know there was a meeting, but I don't know if I got any kind of, when was it supposed to be? And I got COVID on top of that. So
it was yesterday.
Yesterday.
Jeez. Sorry about that. But yes, I have April 17th and I can attend that.
Okay, thank you. Kenny?
Oh, yeah, and I wanted to add, I think at the retreat, you know, I talked about moving to the Equitable Housing Strategies Subcommittee. So I don't know if there's anything more formal besides that.
Okay.
But I was also in class yesterday afternoon, so sorry for missing the call.
Okay, so your Equitable Housing Strategies. Part of my problem is I don't have a list of who's in which subcommittee, so it makes it very confusing. So can we just, do you mind if we go through that real quick? I'm just going to go through. So I know Marianne is housing. Lori, what subcommittee are you on?
The newly changed from housing desegregation. I still don't have the name down.
Equitable Housing Strategies.
Yeah, Equitable Housing Strategies.
Jay, I know you're in the same one. Tisha is in Housing First. Mindy?
I'm in Housing First.
Okay, Kenny, you said you're in which one?
I'm moving to the Equitable Housing Strategies.
Okay. And Ray?
Equitable Housing Strategies.
Okay. And then Maggie?
Affordable.
Okay. All right. And we do still have a couple of, I think we have two or three openings right now on the commission. So we've got our youth member who HCD has a recommendation on a person to fill that spot. And I believe we have one more commissioner that needs to come from mayor and council. So, okay. So the next agenda item is continued discussion on the, Marianne, go ahead.
Yeah. So for the Affordable Housing Committee, we need to go through the changes from the retreat. and approve those. And then we also need to discuss the bond with Pima County. So that should be on our agenda.
Right.
Both those things. And who from the city is joining us in the commission meetings, in the affordable housing committee meetings?
Allison.
Sarah Megason.
Oh, Sarah, sorry.
Yep. The liaison, she was out sick yesterday.
Just for the people who aren't here, Wendy, which group is Wendy in?
Housing First. So is Mark Clark.
Okay, and then Vicky is in
the Equitable Housing.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to update our roster and make sure we get all that stuff in there. Okay, let's move to the next agenda item, which is our discussion of the retreat. So I would like to, so one of the goals was to provide final a final vote on our goals. I'd ask that we push this one more month until the Affordable Housing Subcommittee can review it. We've decided that our next meeting is going to be both virtual and in person. So that's been done. Update on ongoing facilitation procurement. So Colleen and Tahani, what's the status of getting those guys involved going forward?
So we are checking with our procurement department, Jim. So HCD did initiated a procurement a few months ago for a variety of services, including facilitation. And I don't know if these folks are on our procurement. So we need to find out with our procurement if we're able to continue to work with them under a modified scope of work from their existing contract that is through another department, or whether we would have to work with one of the vendors on our current list.
Okay. So they're not on the current list now?
So they are on a list at the city, but since they were engaged for this specific initiative, HCD had a procurement for facilitation, training, a few other things, and they didn't respond to that specific procurement. So we're just not sure now if we're required to use that or whether we can continue to work off list. So it's just something we need to look into with our procurement department, and certainly something we'll have better information by next meeting.
Okay. Okay, and then the last item is a mayor and council update. So before our next meeting, I'm going to send out suggested language for our update to mayor and council. And we'll review that as a group. And then last year, we did a presentation to mayor and council as well, and the commissioners are all welcome to participate in that. So once we kind of agree on the talking points, I'll get something scheduled to provide an update at a mayor and council meeting. So I don't have, obviously, the update ready to go for this meeting, but I'd like to put that as an agenda item for our next meeting. So any other comments or questions on the retreat? Okay. Next agenda item is the city and the county joint housing meeting. This was something that was asked of us by the mayor. And I had reached out to Mark. He was on vacation for 2 weeks. And both Mark and Marcos are absent today. So I think we need to postpone this to our next meeting as well. Okay. So our next meeting, yes.
I am actually next Tuesday in a pretty in-depth meeting with a lot of staff from the county. And, you know, Dan Sullivan is going to be in that meeting. He's in charge of the Regional Affordable Housing Commission.
Mm-hmm.
Is it okay with this group or you that I mention this to him?
Please.
Okay.
Please. Yeah. And, you know, we might want to just invite Dan to the meeting and the discussion as well. Any other comments on the county meeting? So the goal, if you guys recall, the goal was to start discussing a potential bond initiative for affordable housing between the city and the county. That was the goal. And to see how we can maybe start pushing that forward. Okay, so next steps, next commission meeting is May 2nd. It's going to be at the El Pueblo Center, and it'll also be via Zoom. And then our following meeting, June 6th, I believe that's going to be virtual. My understanding is that the last commission meeting, we decided that one meeting a quarter would be in person. The others will continue to remain virtual. The Affordable Housing Subcommittee is April 17th. Equitable Housing Strategies is April 25th. And Housing First is April 30th. The agenda items we have for our next meeting are the impact fee proposal. We're going to talk about communications to mayor and council. We're going to readdress the county county meeting. I would like to finalize the CEHD goals. Are there other agenda items that the commissioners would like to see, Ray?
I'm wondering, Corin, or you asked from PDSD, if we could get an update on what's happening with the other proposed changes to planning and development code to encourage affordable housing and what the status is on that.
Sure. We can provide an update on some of the code updates we're working on right now. Absolutely.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ray. Jason?
And then just based on the kind of just a few seconds ago conversation, it seems like also the follow-up on facilitation, ongoing facilitation for the commission.
Right. Okay. Any other agenda items the commissioners would like to see next meeting? All right, everybody. Well, have a great. Oh, Mindy, just about to adjourn.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. Thank you for holding over for me. I was looking at when we start our meetings, there's that whole paragraph that you read that is read about COVID-19, which, you know, holding virtually in order to protect us from COVID-19, which I don't think is I think we're okay. Maybe we might want to consider the worded verbiage on that. It's a bit obsolete. Up to you. I was thinking to order to reduce carbon footprint.
Okay. Does that come from the board and commissions? Is that something that we have to read?
Well, yeah, we can check with our clerk's office on if they have kind of updated recommended language.
Yeah, I agree with you, though, Mindy. Okay, any other comments before we adjourn? All right, everybody, thank you very much. We're adjourned.